Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread. Chardonnay. Haney. Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7. The Fan.
Orioles tonight taking on the Blue Jays. Series finale, 7:05 down at Camden Yards. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me and Mike Bordick live from Pickles, 6 o'clock. Come by, say hello, and hopefully go watch the Orioles get that sweep. Ravens preseason starts tomorrow. Matter of fact, there's a bunch of games tomorrow. It's the NFL season of 22 is now less than a month away from kickoff. Here to talk about that on this Woman Crush Wednesday tribute to Olivia Newton-John. He's our Orioles and Ravens reporter. He is on the Regency Furniture Hotline. He is Cordell Woodland. Cordell, good morning. What's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
All right, what's up? Yesterday, Cordell, we were talking about Bateman, and you were running hot. Vinny was kind of running hot because he had the bad body language. But as we're on the eve of the preseason opener, not just Bateman, but the Ravens receivers in general, who has stood out to you? And if you had to project the top three, who would they be?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bateman has definitely still been a guy that stood out to me. I think he's, you know, still the best receiver on the team, no doubt about it. He's impressed me all camp. But James Proche, I think, has been maybe the most consistent receiver of them all. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I saw Proche drop a pass. I mean, and he's always open. And even when he's not open, he's making the tough catch. And I've just been incredibly impressed with him to this point. If we're talking about the top three receivers, I still think it'll be, you know, Bateman, Proche, and Duvernay in that mix. Duvernay finally back from his thigh issue. And, you know, I'm just ready to see him get back in the groove of things, continue to stack days and just get more comfortable being a receiver. And I want to see him improve his route running if we're talking about something that the main issue with him. I just think it's his route running is probably his biggest knock. I want to see him get better at that. I think he has very good speed, but if his route running excels, then that'll kind of amplify his speed even more, and he can be able to get that separation that he's lacking right now. So I think those would be the three guys, and after that, it's not much. It's honestly not much after them. Depth is definitely an issue with this group, but I think those three will be the guys we see to start.
You mentioned speed. Where's the deep threat? Do the Ravens have a true, and I'm using air quotes here, Cordell, deep threat for their passing game?
Well, I'm excited to see Rashad Bateman kind of, you know, be this versatile receiver that can do everything. Mm-hmm. I think he has that caliber. I think he has that in his game to be a receiver that can run the entire route tree and be dependent on for the big play, whether that's the deep ball or whether that's yak. He already showed his ability to be a yak guy last year. I think he was that was kind of the biggest surprise for me with Rashad Bateman was how strong he was after the catch. But we didn't get to see a lot of the deep ball with him last year. And we saw a lot of it from him in college, but not necessarily last year. So I think we're going to see more of that from him this year. He definitely has the ability to do it. He's fast enough. And while he may not burn guys, he has the mix of good speed with good size, good physicality. I think he can go up be a jump ball guy for sure. So I'm excited for him to be able to show that aspect of his game.
Hey, Cordell, talk to me about the secondary. Just seem, you know, Stevens being – a lot of them are hurt right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so kind of talk about, you know, what's up with those injuries. You know, Armour Davis, Stevens, you know, is Marlon getting vet days or is he nicked a little?
Well, Marlon was back out there yesterday, but he didn't participate from what I watched. I didn't see him out there much in the team drill. So definitely something to watch with him, but – Mark Andrews has kind of been on that same wave recently where he's out there in practice. He's part of the individual stuff and some of the, you know, install periods, but not really when it's 11 on 11. So I think that they're just really being careful with all of these guys. If anything flares up, they're just really treating them with kid gloves. Same goes for even to the extent of Brandon Stevens, who we haven't seen for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hobbs keeps kind of telling us there's nothing to see here. It's just little nagging injuries, nothing serious. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, Hobbs he's been answering the injury questions to this point, but I don't know how long that's going to last, considering it's somebody new that we seemingly having to ask him about each day now. So he's saying it's nothing serious. We'll have to take him at his word. But for the guys that are out there, you know, I think that they're pretty solid. When Marlon's been out there, Marlon's been really good. Marcus Williams, I think, you know, he's starting to get more and more comfortable.
Seymour had a good day day before.
Kevon Seymour, honestly, has been one of the more consistent DBs all of camp. I think the M&T Bank practice, unfortunately, was his worst day of camp, and that just happened to be when everybody was out there to watch it. But for pretty much all of camp, I think Seymour's been pretty good, and he just made a play on Rashad Bateman, 2 days ago?
Right.
So he continues to be a guy that sticks out to me.
Now, how was Dobbins yesterday? You know, was it same as the day before? What did he look like yesterday?
Yeah, I would say pretty much the same as the day before. I think he participated in just as much, if not just a little less, than he did the day before, but he was with the running backs. He did the pass catching drills, did a couple of the handoff drills, and then he's out working off to the side once they get in a team drill. So, you know, I think it's just a day-to-day process with Dobbins. They just want to continue to get him out there, get him some work in on the field, and just hope and pray that there are no setbacks along the way. And, you know, of course, I'm just continuing to see how he moves and how he walks. I definitely noticed the limp to him day one yesterday. Obviously, the limp is still there. But, you know, I think it's just him continuing to get more and more comfortable with just moving around and getting that mobility back.
Now, Cordell, how worried are you about tackling tomorrow night? I mean, because I have not seen one tackling drill, one fundamental drill of anything to do with tackling, you know. So, I mean, to me, it'll be interesting to see how they tackle tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely will be something to watch, you know, for the guys that are out there, how well they're tackling. And a lot of these guys are going to be, you know, a mix of undrafted rookies to rookies that were drafted, and a lot of these guys, it'll be their first time even playing at the NFL level. So tackling is something to watch from the get-go anyway. But, yeah, Vinny, you're right. You know, it hasn't been any tackling to this point in camp. I mean, I've seen the linebackers and D-linemen practice it a little bit with the wheel, rolling the wheel out there a time or two. But I can't say I've seen it, you know, all the time. And even still, the drills, we'll see how much that translates into the game. Nothing is, like, actually doing it. You know, nothing feels the same. So I'm anxious to see how these guys tackle. I'm anxious to, you know, I think there's been a couple of times where guys like Kyle Hamilton in practice, it's like, oh, that could have been a major collision there. And I'm excited to see how that looks in the game, if he's going to be able to kind of, you know, they're going to take the leash off and let some of these guys go and how they'll respond.
Cordell Woodland, Orioles Ravens reporter, 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, always great to talk to you. We'll talk tomorrow and get your three keys for tomorrow's preseason game. I mean, yeah, they got a 20-game winning streak. That's all very touching. But we know what some of the keys are going to be. We're going to reiterate tomorrow afternoon. Take it easy, man.
Oh, yeah. Of course, Bob. I'll see you tonight at Pickles.
Oh, I'll be there waiting for you, my friend.
All right, Cordell. Time.
Cordell Woodland. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Major League Baseball scores that impacted the Orioles positively. We'll get to those. Scott Green, TerrapinSports.com. Talk about Maryland football. September 3rd, Buffalo. College Park season kicks off. How they looking so far as they get ready for this season? What are the expectations? What should they be? And we talk about the skill possessions. How's that defense looking? Is it still shaky? Where's the strength? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around. Today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, which has become a tribute to Olivia Newton-John. So what do you want to hear from her? We'll send that request to the Plaza Sports text line. And old Quick Draw McGraw is going to go over there and make it happen for you. So do it. Last night, Major League Baseball. Things that happened that affected the Orioles. Well, last night in Seattle, it was the Mariners. It was the Yankees. It was give and take. It was 13 innings. Gerrit Cole, Luis Castillo were brilliant in the rotation. But in the end, the M's got the big hit that mattered.
We have played over 4 hours here at T-Mobile Park tonight.
And you're right, bam! It is it! It is it! The Mariners win it! The first run is the only run in an instant classic! It's the game of the year!
He's excited.
Was that game? Did I sleep through October? Was that game 7 of the World Series that I just missed? Luis Torrens, game-winning hit, scores the run, 1-0 Seattle over New York. And as we talked about yesterday, Vinny, on our show, and we talked about on Baltimore Baseball Tonight with Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken, you know, especially Baltimore fans, us, you root against the Yankees normally. In this situation, you're rooting for New York.
Right.
Because the Orioles aren't going to catch the Yankees. The Orioles can catch Seattle. So, big win for the M's. Wanted the Orioles to get some help. Orioles help themselves, which we've talked about, but the Yankees, you know, they could still do some damage when it's all said and done, beating up on teams that the Orioles are chasing, because the Orioles have already played the Yankees a ton.
Yep.
They've only got them a couple more games when it's all said and done. So the Yankees, ironically enough, might be Baltimore's best friend down the stretch.
Exactly right.
So I hate to say it, but let's go Yankees down the road here. Former Oriole, Manny Machado. And we'll get to him in a couple of minutes, because he did something really cool 10 years ago tonight. But Manny Machado did something really cool for the Padres just last night in San Diego.
Machado to deep left and deep and far into the San Diego night. He'll walk it off. 3-run home run for Manny Machado. Padres win it 7-4 in spectacular fashion.
That was that Bally Sports there on the call. So Manny, 3-1 walk-off jack. Breaks a 5-game losing streak for the Padres. Juan Soto also hit a home run last night. Tatis, that 2 knocks down on the farm as his return is imminent. But they went 26 innings without scoring a run.
Damn.
They had all of them big bats and all them boppers and really struggled. The Dodgers let them know who the big brother is still in the NL West over the weekend. But Manny doing some great things last night, helping the cause for his Padres. And San Diego is going to make the playoffs as a wild card and could be very dangerous once, in fact, they get there. Also last night, it was Atlanta 9-7 over Boston. Red Sox fading in a big, big way. Detroit, who they play? I can't understand my own handwriting there, Nolan. It was Detroit last night. They play Cleveland. Guardians 5-2 as Cleveland's moving in on Minnesota. As a matter of fact, they're tied for first in that division right now. White Sox split a doubleheader with Kansas City, losing the opener 4-2, winning the nightcap 3-2. Milwaukee did Orioles a solid, beating Tampa 5-2. Dodgers clobber the Twinkies 10-3, because now Minnesota's in the wild card mix. And we talked about Seattle 1-0 over the Yankees in 13 innings. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The Whip Around. This day in sports history, Orioles history in particular, 1976. Ken Singleton 2-for-2 with a run. Tony Muser two for three with a ribby. Jim Palmer threw a one-hitter.
Ooh, nice. Innings, too, I bet.
Yeah, complete game shutout as the Orioles beat Minnesota Memorial Stadium 2-0 on this date, 1994. Bittersweet day. Raffy goes deep. Rafael Palmeiro, five ribbies. Leo Gomez knocked in two. Jeffrey Hammonds, 2-for-5 with a ribby and two runs scored. Ben McDonald went 7 1/3 as the Orioles blow out the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. 8-1. This was the last game before the strike.
Wow.
They played the Red Sox at Camden Yards because I was there. Arthur Rhodes was pitching, who had pitched back-to-back shutouts. Rain came. Game got postponed. But August the 10th, 1994, was the Orioles' last completed game before the strike ended the season. Orioles finished that year 63-49, 1997 in Anaheim. Brady Anderson, Cal Ripken went yard. Armando Benitez got the win in relief of Jimmy Key. Randy Myers picked up his 34th save. Orioles 4-3 over the Angels on their way to the American League's Eastern Division Championship. Unbelievable 25 years ago. And on this date, 10 years ago, Oriole Park at Camden Yards, Norm, your boy Omar Quintanilla went deep. And Manny Machado hit his first two home runs of his Major League career. Now over 270 of those things. But Manny Machado's first two homers were tonight, 10 years ago at Camden Yards. Miguel Gonzalez goes 8 strong to pick up the win as the Orioles beat the Kansas City Royals 7-1. Oriole Park at Camden Yards, 10 bleeping years ago.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Just seems like yesterday that me and Rob were down at Bowie broadcasting. Him and Scope were playing for Bowie.
Now, Scope in Detroit, and Manny makes $5 billion. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Maryland football. September 3rd, Buffalo Bulls, 12 o'clock kickoff, Maryland Stadium. Scott Green, TerrapinSports.com, will preview the Terps. How are they looking at practice so far? I mean, you got a better chance of getting the combination to Fort Knox than getting some access to Maryland football practice, but Scott may have an inside scoop. We're talking about Terp football next, and then it's a fun house trip with Nolan McGraw.
Training camp.
Oh, he broke his ankle.
Has arrived. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah. Remember the old country and western stuff Olivia Newton-John started out with back in the 70s? It's one of them tunes.
You can't.
I thought she was singing to me when I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm coming for you, Olivia.
I'll bet you a lot of
lobster's going to be there eventually. Olivia Newton-John passing away, sadly, a couple of days ago, age of 73. Paying tribute here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Maryland, September 3rd, the Buffalo Bulls, 12 o'clock kickoff down at Maryland Stadium. Practice underway. Mike Loxley, fourth year at the helm. Coordinators change. We know that. Defensive results have kind of remained the same, even though they've had some pretty high-level guys on that side of the ball. We know all about the skill possession strength and talking about that and more. From Terrapin Sports Report, it's on the Rivals Network. He's joining us courtesy of the Regency Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome to the show for the first time. He is Scott Green. Scott, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. And, you know, we'll get to the wideouts and the offensive line and Leah and all the good stuff we got going on offensively. But let's talk about Maryland defensively right now. And, you know, we've seen the lopsided losses to the power teams in the Big Ten. Give us an idea from what you've seen so far, Scott, how that front seven is holding up still a few weeks away from the opener against Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the defense, you know, obviously lose some pieces, so we know that. And we know they weren't great last year. That said, they bring a lot of guys back. You know, that defensive line, you know, they got some experience, you know, 6 years guys coming back up front there on the D-line. You look at the linebackers, you know, one of the key guys coming back is Vinaje Gote. He's a guy who's a starter at linebacker. He's back healthy, so I think that's big for the linebacking core. You also bring in a big-time freshman, Jayshon Barham. You know, he was a Rivals top 100 guy, fairly highly recruited out of St. Francis. So, you know, they definitely got the talent. And then you look at the backside. You look at a guy like Deontay Banks. He was a guy who they expected big things from. Cornerback last year, got hurt early on. You know, but he's a big physical corner. And, you know, that's something the defense really lacked last year. So I think getting, you know, a couple of these key guys back. And then you also look at Darrell Chami. He's another guy, the rush end. He was back healthy. So, you know, while the defense wasn't good last year, and, you know, you look at it and go, well, it's a lot of the same guys that were part of a not very good defense. You also get some key guys back in key spots that weren't healthy last year and look 100% ready now. So I think you're going to see some improvement from the defense, and I think they're going to be a little more aggressive too when you look at what Brian Williams likes to do. And I think you really saw that in the last two games last year against Virginia Tech and Rutgers.
And you mentioned Brian Williams takes over the defense and the aggressiveness. You know, being Baltimore, you see the Ravens with Wink over the years, blitz, blitz, blitz. Will it get to that level in a Williams we trust scenario to generate some pressure on the opposing quarterbacks in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll get, you know, quite like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if someone like Chami stays healthy and, you know, like I said, you've got some real experience there on that D-line, I think you will see more pressure. And, you know, you look at someone like Tarheeb Still, you know, a guy who was really, really good as a freshman. You know, they brought him some in the blitz last year. And I think, you know, again, getting someone like Deontay back allows someone like Still to, you know, blitz more off the edge, off the corner. So, yeah, I think you will see more pressure, and I think it's going to be a different look. You know, I think especially early on last season, you saw them kind of back on their heels. You know, you can kind of understand it because of the injuries, but, you know, with everyone healthy and with that new defensive coordinator and kind of the aggressiveness there, I think you're going to see a different defense.
Hey, Scott, are the receivers, do they look as advertised?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I was as skeptical as anybody when it came to Dante Demas being back and being healthy. You know, when we've been out there, we've seen him. You know, he's out there running, you know, basically at full speed. He looks healthy. He says he's healthy. When I talked to him last week, you know, he basically said even he was a bit surprised that he's ahead of schedule. But, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I think they're going to do what they can to make sure he stays healthy for the next month throughout camp. But he looks to be pretty much 100%. And honestly, so does Jayshon Jones. And those are two guys that, you know, when you talk about that group, you know, you add those guys with, you know, the Florida transfer and, you know, and then you also got Rakim Jarrett back as well. And, you know, that group looks really, really good.
Now, how about the, you know, because the O-line, when I was at Lox's house for the barbecue, he talked about that, you know, were you there then too?
No, I was actually out of town.
All right, so he talked about, Lox talked about, you know, the offensive line, you know, finally kind of stabilized. And then he was really kind of bragging on the running back, said he had like four backs that he really likes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you know, talk about that offensive line, you got basically six starters back.
Mm-hmm.
So the offensive line is going to be good. You know, obviously they've had more time to sell. But yeah, you look at that running back group, you know, they've got some talented backs. You know, obviously they don't have a ton of experience, you know, and they might have the household names you're used to, but you know, you look at Antoine Littleton, you know, he's a guy who really slimmed down. And, you know, something they've kind of lacked is that golden back, and I think he can be that guy. Yeah, you know, they're not household names guys you've seen a lot of necessarily, but they've got some young, talented backs, and I think, you know, they're going to help have a bit more best offense than I think some people might be expecting.
Scott Greene joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking some Maryland football. He's with Terrapin Sports Report, and we know Leah Tungavaiola set all sorts of records throwing the football for Maryland in 2021, and you mentioned all of the dudes coming in and Copeland and Jones coming back and Demas, but he still had that kind of dough moment from time to time mm-hmm. during games. The Iowa game, it looked like he was in full-on meltdown mode there. What does he have to do, Scott, to prevent that sort of, you know, dramatic setback and just keep that consistent high-level play going on? Because obviously the offense is going to definitely revolve around him.
Right. And I mean, and like you said, you talk about that Iowa game. I mean, obviously, I think that was one you just kind of throw out the window. I mean, he lost his top receiver. It was kind of a gruesome injury. And I just kind of feel like that one you just kind of got to just leave behind. But you're right. There were some moments. You know, I think part of it is just that they play some extremely talented defenses. But again, you know, you look at this offense, they return a lot of starters. You know, there's a lot of cohesion there now. Another off season to prepare with these guys. So I think a lot of it is just familiarity. And there's obviously going to be a lot more of it now. So I think just the familiarity with these guys and another year of kind of being a leader of this group is really what's going to help him, you know, not have those moments going forward.
Hey, Scott, what's the temperament like when you're watching practice, you know, like players and coaches? Are they holler screaming, you know, and then what's your opinion of how you think they'll fare in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, it's football practice. Yeah, there's yelling and screaming. But, I mean, the temperament seems good. You know, everyone seems to be, you know, pretty upbeat. I think they're confident in their ability this year, which is huge. And obviously I think coming off a bowl win has a lot to do with that. You know, as far as what I think they can do in the Big Ten, you know, I've seen the over-under for wins for this team, maybe around six games. I would take the over, and I think seven is doable, and I don't think eight's out of the realm either. You know, I think that's possible, but, you know, it's just tough. You know, you got Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan every year, and those teams just, you know, as far as recruiting talent, I mean, unfortunately, they're just kind of at a different level of a lot of the others right now. So, but I think they can get to seven again. I think they can maybe get to eight. But I think they're going to surprise some people. I think everyone knows the offense is going to be good, but I think the defense might really surprise some people.
Scott, tell everybody about the website.
TerrapinSportsSport.com. Like you said, part of the Rivals Network. And, yeah, we're there talking about the Terps 24/7.
Scott, appreciate the time. We'll be talking about the upcoming season in a couple of weeks, getting ready for the always fun Buffalo Bulls down at Maryland Stadium, of course.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott. You got it. Scott Green, it's Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, speaking of exciting, I mean, two-run bombs from Odor, sure. Manny walk-off home run, great. Seattle winning in 13, nah. Small potatoes. Nolan McGraw is the most exciting guy in Maryland, and we're talking to him next in the Funhouse here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in. And ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, the Crush Wednesday, Olivia Newton-John picking songs, paying tribute, passing away earlier this week, age of 73. Plenty of tunes to choose from. Sold over 100 million records. Did Olivia Newton-John and was in one of the more iconic movies of the 70s, Grease. I saw Grease, Vinny, when I was 13, because it came out in 78, at the Golden Ring Cinemas. My parents took me, my brother, and sister to that thing.
I was a freshman in college. I don't know if I saw it or not. I've seen it, but I don't know if I saw it. Maybe probably in the summertime or something.
Yeah, because John Travolta was a big deal.
Yeah, Johnny T.
At that time. And it was an epic movie, still resonates with people.
Was that after Saturday Night Fever, Bob?
Yeah, it was like right after. And then he did, what did he do after that one? Oh, the Urban Cowboy.
Okay.
Where he was thrown off of those mechanical bulls. But let's see, 78. What year is this? 22. That was 44 years ago.
Damn.
Come on, man. Where'd the time go? What are we talking about over here? Nolan, you were long from being born in 1978, but I'm guessing you've seen Grease before, right?
I think so at some point. I can't remember. I probably saw bits and pieces of it when I was younger, but I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you the full plot, to be honest.
I mean, they haven't sealed it away in a vault where it's never to be watched again. I think it still plays in regular rotation for the most part.
I'll get to it.
If you flip your cable dials.
I'll get to it at some
now,
point.
Now, speaking of getting to it, when we get to news from the nest in a few minutes, we got some big fancy Ravens names we're going to hear from, right?
We do, yeah. Lamar Jackson.
Heard
working
him.
On that right now. We got Mark Andrews done.
I'm familiar with that guy. Heard him pretty good.
plenty of Mark Andrews and then John Harbaugh at some point.
Harbs, so, mighty men.
I don't know if you looked through the glass, but I was sitting here recording off my phone because these are from, they were on Sirius XM.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, Sirius XM, this is another gripe.
Oh, what's grinding
no
your
desktop,
gears?
No desktop player for Sirius XM. What's your deal?
What do you mean?
You can play it in your car, obviously, off your phone, any mobile device, smart TV. You can ask, hey, Alexa, or whatever, or your Google
Home.
I'm
going to have to dispute that as a subscription holder to
Sirius. Can you play it off the desktop?
I have listened to Howard Stern on my desktop multiple times.
Well, at risk of looking like a damn fool, which happens quite often.
You're kind of trending in that direction, unless they've changed Sirius that I've noticed.
All I know is when I loaded it up this morning, and it said, hey, stream the NFL interviews that we're pulling up. I clicked on it, and it directed me to download the mobile app. So we have them done. That's the point.
That's all that matters. As long as we get it, because we got it, because the show's about what the people want.
Right.
So we're going to give it to the people no matter how we get it. Right, Nolan? We're going to give it to the people. And you busted your tail to make it happen, and you will be commended at some point in time.
Well, and a shout out to Joe LaCroix as well. Big help from Joe LaCroix.
Jolt and Joe LaCroix, the big bad man.
Now, Norm, who else you got in studio with you? You got a young lady in there with you?
We do. We have, well, she can't hear you right now. The speakers are off. But
do you speak to her?
Yeah, we've been talking all day. So,
are you shocked about that, Bob?
I would assume he'd have to utter a word or two.
Well, that's kind of how it works. Yeah. You know? When someone comes in to shadow.
Yeah. Now, hey,
said,
she's
asked plenty of questions.
Has she spoken back to you?
Yes.
Is it a one-way conversation?
Well, I hope not. We've got a long way to go. We're only halfway through the show here. But, yeah, she'll be here the next few days. Job shadow. Interested in sports media.
Annika. So
what's her name?
Annika, yeah.
Annika, okay.
So she's interested in sports media. Says she listens to The Fan very often.
Oh, nice.
Especially the morning show. And,
what the hell?
So she'll be here. Well, she likes our show, too. She likes every show.
What college is she from?
That's very nice of her.
She's in high school, but she will be. She's weighing her options for college, as she says.
Okay.
Leaning towards Boston, leaning towards Temple, and also Maryland, University of Maryland.
Oh, there you go. Well, you have done some intel there.
Right.
Nolan McGraw, very good. Well, why don't you show off in front of her a little bit with a trip through your funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start with one here on James Prochet. Texter here saying, I don't get calling Prochet only a training camp performer. He played pretty significant snaps in a couple games last year, and I thought he played well, but then the next week he would be inactive.
Yeah, I think he had some assignment issues.
Well, he had that 7-for-70 game.
Yeah.
And then was benched the next week because Sammy Watkins came back. So he did get inconsistent run on the field. But, yeah. I mean, that's the one game that stands out for Prochet. It's not like he was stacking 7-and-70 games.
And that's what he needs to do. To me, he needs to start fast, you know, and just make, you know, what he's got to do is do what he's supposed to do. No mental errors. Do the things you're supposed to do. Make the plays you're supposed to make. And like Bob said, and Harb says, you know, stack performances. So they know when they call your number, they know what they're going to get. That's the biggest thing.
They had 16 catches last year.
Yeah, he needs to double that.
Got one here from Lee that says, new tight end Isaiah Likely sounds like a potential star, a real diamond in the rough. How come he wasn't recruited to a bigger college program? How did he fall through the cracks?
Now, I want to say he's from, like, Maine, you know? And, you know, some guys just develop late. I mean, why are other small school guys go play in the pros? You know, they...
Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't ready at the time. They didn't develop. A lot of times, you know, kids don't hit that growth spurt, you know, when they're being recruited.
Remember we had Coastal Carolina coach Jamie Chadwell on. Mm-hmm. Was talking about that. It seemed like kind of along the same thing, that they felt like they had a diamond in the rough.
Hey, look, whatever his route was to Baltimore, he's here. And, you know, like a lot of people, guys and ladies listening, I'm very excited about his potential. Can't wait to see him in games.
Couple on the Orioles, John in Westminster, says he was at the game last night. Announced attendance only 11,000, but it felt like a playoff atmosphere. Seems like more people are starting to go on weeknights.
Well, they have the 92 pricing. So from Monday through Thursday, you can get a bleacher seat for $10.
Oh, and Bob, they did say after the rainout, which was kind of cool, open seating. Go sit wherever you wanted. So, like, when you're watching it on TV, behind the screen right there was packed.
Well, I don't want to share any of my secrets, but that's kind of what I did anyway. Before the rain.
We'll close with this one here from Chris. Says, if it really is liftoff time, as Elias says, do you think the Orioles will start giving extensions to some of their own guys in-house?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't see them ready to start cracking the checkbook yet. The first extension I'm handing out, if I'm running the Orioles, number 35, you're getting an extension. We're buying out your arbitration years. That's the first one I'm getting to. Now I'm looking more at Santander as a keeper. I know Stowers went deep again last night because he's kind of carried their offense. The Orioles leads in home runs.
What about Mateo, Bob? Because when I listen to your show, Bordy's all over Mateo.
Yeah. I don't know if he's earning an extension, 27, 28 years old, with his replacement of level away.
So
long term,
they'll trade him after this offseason?
I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think they're extending him. He's still batting 200 plus. I mean, he was 0-for. He goes through the peaks and valleys offensively, even though for the most part he's done well since the All-Star break. But the first extension that I'm handing out, if I'm Mike Elias, is to Adley Rutschman. And then everyone else, stand in line. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7, the Fan News from the Nest. You know Mark Andrews. You love Mark Andrews. You're going to hear from Mark Andrews next. We got buy or sell. Where's the midweek money? Find out at 12:15. And Tony Penty, OrielsHangout.com, going down to the farm and talk about the current day, modern day Orioles at the major league level. If you're waking up, didn't hear, had the late shift, Orioles are a half game out of the playoffs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.